Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
How do you stand when everything else is falling? You've done everything in your power you know to do to keep your life on track. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been reading your Bible, and still it seems as though God is not listening. It seems as though heaven has turned its back on you. I am here to encourage you today to let you know that God is listening and he's very involved in our everyday waking, walking, talking lives. And you may not feel his presence all of the time. However, he's there. There's no place where God is not. We continue our journey in our teaching today on part two of how do you stand when everything in your life is falling? How can you recover from a divorce? How can you recover from a family member committing suicide? How can you recover when you've lost everything, your home, your car? How do you get back on your feet when your business has failed? When your dreams, it seems like everything that you thought you were seems to just crumble right before your eyes. And I know those are not edifying statements, but at the same time, they are very real for so many people around the world. And I am here to let you know, regardless of the setbacks, regardless of the walls that you feel that you've hit, regardless of the misunderstandings between family members and friends and all of the situations and issues that can occur in our emotions and our physical realm, that Jesus Christ loves us so much that he has an answer. Always has and always will. And that answer, my friends, is found in the Bible, in the Word of God, in his book. Yes, I talk about it all of the time. People who listen to this on a regular basis, listen to the radio broadcast and the podcast on a regular basis, know this is what I do. This is my brand, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I am to be an influencer, let me be an influencer for the cause of Christ, that people's lives will be really changed. And now I don't bring religion, but I introduce you to the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you stand when everything else is falling? Well, number one, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. So with Dr. Faye, I did that, and still things happen, life happens, and you're right. But here's the key. Even though life still happens, things still happen in your life, we have answers that we can go to, and they work all of the time. And I know there's a resistance to that, to say, no, that's just fluff, to just say, speak the word. No. Every great thought leader, every great teacher will tell you about the power of your thinking and the power of your speaking. Your belief, it has a power. And what you're believing and what you're thinking begins to manifest on the canvas of your everyday life. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, he writes, do not be anxious about anything. Don't have any anxiety or fear over life. How could he make that statement? He made it out of an experience that he himself had already had with the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was threatened. He was put in prison and beaten many, many times because of the preaching of Christ. So he said, okay, get over it. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, what is every? Every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, being grateful, Present your request to God with gratitude. Having a spirit of gratitude in prayer is extremely powerful because you're not going to God saying, oh, give me, give me, give me. But you're going to God saying, I thank you for what you've already done. I appreciate the fact that my children are well today, or the remainder of my children are well, or find the things that God has already done for you and be grateful for those things that you can see, that you can experience today. The very breath that you breathe is God sent. The very heartbeat that you have is saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, as a beat to it. There's the very presence of God in your blood flow. Because he loves us so much, he put himself on the inside of us. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And he's with us always, even to the end of the world. So have no anxiety about your life. Have no anxiety about your tomorrow. But come before him with an attitude of thanksgiving. An attitude of gratitude will take you to altitudes, to bring you to a place that you can feed the multitudes. That is what God's word will do as you begin to be thankful in everything. Verse 7 reads, and the peace of God, you need peace. When you have been through so much, and many of you have been through so much, and you're thinking, God, I just can't take anymore. I've heard people say that to me. I just can't take anymore. A woman called me a couple of days ago, Dr. Faye, can I make an appointment? Because I just can't take it anymore. People feel as though they're at the edge. Maybe you don't feel that way, but there are people. Perhaps people you know who you just pass by every day in the next cubicle or in the marketplace who are at the very edge, who are thinking about taking their lives because they cannot find this thing called peace. Yet in the Bible, in the Word of God, he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your heart and your mind intact. It will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, and he will, the Spirit of God inside of you will lift up a standard against him, will be a wall against the enemy, just like God parted the Red Sea and made the water a wall against the enemy, made the water a wall for them to cross over, but that same wall became a flood for the enemy. So God will reverse things and cause things that look like they were going to do you harm, but to turn around and wipe out the enemy. Those things that are tormenting you. Many of us look at people as the enemy. But the Bible says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against spiritual wickedness and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And since we're wrestling against something we cannot physically see, we need the same kind of weapon. Since it's a spirit that we're wrestling against, we have to wrestle it with spirit. We have to come against it with spirit. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. So when that word comes out of your mouth, it is spirit and it's going to fight the spirit. That's why I continue to encourage you to read your 3 chapters a day. Have your go-to chapter. That means your lean on me chapter, whatever it is, your verse. Maybe it's a go-to verse. The Lord, yes, Jesus loves me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is for you, have something that you can put on your chest like Superman, like Wonder Woman, and put it on your chest and hold it close to you because, darlings, it becomes spirit, it begins to attack the enemy for you, and it will cause you to triumph in the Lord Jesus Christ. This peace that passes understanding is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God our peace. That's what shalom is. It means peace. So he said, when you come to God with thanksgiving and with prayer, when you come to God with worship and adoration and appreciation, that spirit of gratitude, you will find in his presence, you will have peace. And it is the peace of God which transcends all understanding, which passes all understanding. You won't even understand why you have peace. A flood just came and wiped out everything you have, but you have peace. Yes, your husband walked out and ran away with a younger woman, half his age, but you have peace. That's someone's story. You know that it is. Something horrible, tragic happened in your life or in your childhood, and you're still tormented by it today. But in him, you can have peace. This is how you stand when everything else is falling. You find that place of peace and you make it a haven. You put yourself in that place and you refuse to give up, cave in, and quit. I refuse to have an environment in my home where there is a lack of peace. Anyone who comes to bring anything else, they have got to go. This is not the place for chaos and confusion. It is the place of peace that passes understanding. It will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. His peace will keep us when nothing else will work, when nothing else will do. The peace of God will keep us. There are people in the Bible who experienced some very tragic situations, some hard times, difficult times. In the Old Covenant, there are people who went through some incredible odds, overcame some incredible odds, and went through some incredible things, who came out on the other side of victory, praising God because of what he had done for them. Moses is a true story of rags to riches, how to stand when everything else is falling around you. We find this man having to be given up by his mama. He was put in a basket and floated down the Nile. And as God would have it, he floated right into the custody, yes, of Pharaoh's daughter. And being in his custody, she knew he was a newborn and that he needed his mama. Or he needed some breast milk. So she told her handmaiden, she said, go find a woman of the Hebrew that can come and nurse him for me. Yes. So this handmaiden went and she found Moses' mother. So she got to nurse her own son. But while he was in custody, he was in custody of Pharaoh's daughter. God began to teach him the ways of the Egyptians because he was raised as an Egyptian, even though he was born a Hebrew. Even though he was born a slave, he was raised as a prince. Isn't that something? So during this time that he was being raised in Pharaoh's house, he learned all of the things that Egyptians learned. He learned about the Egyptian gods. He learned how they worship God. But there was something inside of his heart that wouldn't let him ignore a calling on the inside. He could only go so far. And when he saw the Israelites arguing and fighting amongst themselves, and an Egyptian got involved, and the Egyptian was slain, and he saw that the brutality that was being done to their brethren the next day, and he said, why are you arguing? Aren't you brothers? They said, aren't you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian yesterday? So that frightened Moses, and he ran, and he went off into the wilderness as God would have it. Sometimes your life looks like it's just falling apart. Things are not going the way you wanted them to go. You're a prince one moment, and here you are, a fugitive from justice the next. You're sitting on the throne one day, and the next day, you're wondering where you're going to get your next meal. You're talking about defeat. You're talking about feeling like a failure and your world has crumbled. Moses understood what that was like. But he went into a land called Midian, and he connected with a man by the name of Jethro. And Jethro was a wise man. And he understood the ways of God. He understood the ways of administration. It is said that this is the first place where government was ordained, was inside of Jethro. And he was teaching Moses how to be a good leader. He taught him the trade and he taught him skills. And as Moses was tending Jethro's flock and taking care of Jethro's stock, he turned one day and he saw a bush burning in the distance, and he could not ignore this fire. Would you be able to ignore a bush that was burning, but yet it was not being consumed? It was on fire, but it was still there. Imagine. So he went to that place up on the mountain. He heard a voice coming out of that bush saying, "Moses, take off your shoes, for the place on which you stand is holy ground." In that moment, that defining moment, Moses' life was about to shift again. The place that he had ran away from, what was it, 40 years earlier, he was about to return to that same place. Yes. And God told him from the burning bush, "This is holy ground. You're about to be consecrated and stepping into a place that you had no idea that you were even being prepared for." See, all of those situations and circumstances that you are going through right now are preparing you for the day that God has consecrated you, delayered you, got rid of all of your habits, all of your ideas, all of your abilities, all of your personality, the thing that you think is you, so that he can really do something with your life. Remember, he's the potter, we're the clay. He's the one who takes us, makes us, molds us, shapes us. Yes, and redirects us. And Moses was being redirected by the voice that came from the fire. He could have looked at that, and he did for a moment, and he said, "Oh, how could I go and deliver?" He said, "I want you to go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And he said, "Oh, I cannot speak. I stutter. There's an insecurity here because I've been walking in fear. I'm a stutterer and I have anxiety issues, God, and I have fear issues. I can't talk like I need to talk." And, you know, and God said, no. "I will give you a mouthpiece. You go down and you tell Pharaoh what I said. You're having to go back to the place that you ran away from for fear." You see, God will cause you to face your devils, face your fear, turn around and look it in the eye and tell it who your God is. Moses couldn't keep on running. There came a time in his life that his feet had to turn around and go in another direction because God was going to use his fear as a basis for birthing faith in him. The very thing that he thought would slay him, he was now called to slay. I'll be back in a moment.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutLoud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So we have Moses. Who am I to go tell Pharaoh what to do with these people? But God said, who are you telling me? Who is this talking to me? And God said, "You tell him that I am who I am, has sent you. You tell them that I am, that I am." What does that mean? I be who I be. I exist. You see, because when Moses was in Egypt, he was learned and taught of the Egyptian gods. And those gods, yay, didn't talk back. The gods of the Nile, the gods of the sun, all these different gods couldn't talk back. The thing that they worship couldn't do anything for them. But here is a voice speaking to him out of the bush. He's being introduced to the living, breathing, walking, talking, moving God. Say, "Go tell them that I exist. I am the one who breathes. Hey, I'm the one who makes things happen. I'm the one who created. I am that I am. I'm life itself. I'm the breath that you breathe. You tell him that I am has sent you." So Moses left that place and went before Pharaoh with all of his history, with all of his baggage, with all of his doubt, with all of his insecurities. He obeyed God, ladies and gentlemen. How do you stand when everything else is falling? You find a place of obedience, even when you don't understand. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct our path. He'll teach us how to walk. He'll teach us how to talk. Oh, you know, may not be eloquent in your speech, and you may not know how to rightly divide all of the scriptures or understand the word of God that much, but I'm telling you, if you open that Bible and begin to read it, God will take that as a step of faith, and he'll meet you right there. He'll meet you at a verse called Jesus wept. He'll meet you at John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He will meet you right there. Open the book. Don't be afraid of it. Moses had to go back because there was a call inside of him. There was a destiny inside of him. There was purpose inside of him, and he had to walk it out one step at a time. Many people think that purpose is this big thing that you one day get to, or destiny is this huge thing that you one day get to. Have you ever noticed people that the world will say are icons or successful people or have arrived people? Have you ever noticed that those people are always still building? They're always doing something else. And I believe it was Oprah that had something called the next big thing. Always looking for what else is on the horizon. What else can people do? What else can we do? So people who are builders keep building. They don't stop. So while you will never arrive at one place called purpose, you'll never arrive at one thing called destiny. It is a day by day, moment by moment, walking into your identity, walking into who you were created to be, walking and coming into the place that of rest within him, knowing that you are fulfilling the call of God upon your life. And that's what Moses did. Going back to Egypt was part of him fulfilling the call of God upon his life. But that was not the end of the story. There was more to come. Look at a man by the name of Noah. I am sure Noah just looked like everybody else during his day. Yet God saw something and had planted something on the inside of Noah that he could trust. God trusted what was in Noah. And God told him to build an ark, assemble the animals two by two to save them from an impending flood that was about to occur. Noah put his family in that ark. He put the animals as God had instructed him. And God told him that it was going to rain. And it rained. Can you imagine how ridiculous Noah looked? Can you imagine the possibility of anxiety, uncertainty, and fear? Because uncertainty is a breeding ground for anxiety and fear. When you don't know the outcome, you don't know what the results are going to be. And so you sit there like you're sitting in the doctor's office waiting for he or she to come out and tell you what the results are. Yeah. And anxiety tries to creep in. But what God is bringing us to in this hour is saying, even though you may be sitting there and you feeling the feeling of anxiety coming upon you, you can have peace. Can you imagine Noah building and building and building, but peace that passes understanding came and consumed him? And everything that God had spoken to him became a reality because he obeyed God. God is looking for people that will obey him, that will do what he's called us to do. And we cannot do that when we don't know how to stand, because everything does not always go the way that we plan, but we can still stand. Abraham, getting a message from God that he was going to be the father of many nations. But he was told also after this miracle child Isaac was born, to go and take your only son Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham knew in his heart that God had already brought Isaac from the dead. He brought him from a dead womb. Here he was approaching 100, and what, Sarah was 90 years old, and they had a child, had a baby, and that baby was now being sacrificed. I'm sure he did not tell Sarah what he was about to do, or, you know, a mama. He was saying, I don't care what you heard. I didn't hear that, and you're not going to take my child to sacrifice. But Abraham obeyed God. He knew that if God had brought him from the dead in the first place, a dead womb, he was certainly able to bring him back again. So Abraham was willing to give it all to God. If you're going to stand when everything else is falling, you must be willing to give it all to God. You must be willing to lay it down on the altar. You must be willing to leave it there and trust God with it all. Can you take everything that you think you've built? Can you take your relationships? Can you take your bank account? Can you take your business? Can you take whatever it is that you feel that you have poured your life into, and you poured your time into, and you poured your substance into? Can you let go long enough to take it to the altar and give it over to the Father? Because until you do, there's going to be this thing of anxiety and fear, and you're always afraid somebody else is going to do something or take it away or destroy it in some way. You'll walk in fear and not faith until you put it on the altar. Today, Abraham is called the father of faith because he was faithful. Did you hear that? Abraham was called the father of faith because he was faithful. He was able to take his son and give him back to God. And at the moment that he drew the staff to begin to offer Isaac up, an angel spoke out of the bush to stop him and said, God has prepared himself a ram. So, well, why would God do that? No, God didn't do that to play games with Abraham. Abraham needed to be assured that he would do whatever God said. How do you stand when everything else is falling? Be willing to do the most ridiculous things that you hear the Spirit of God saying to you. Learn to hear his voice. Learn what that sounds like. And the sound you start with is from his word. You will not go wrong and when he speaks to you from his word. Consider the psalmist David. Wow. David, here he was, a little shepherd boy, not even acknowledged by his father nor his brothers. He was out there tending his father's sheep. When the prophet Samuel came through and God told him, I'm raising up another king, go to Jesse's house, and because Saul had already messed up. Mm-hmm. So he went to Jesse's house and Jesse paraded all the good looking guys by and said, oh, look at my sons here. Look at this one. Look at that one. And Samuel said, yeah, I hear what you say, but those are not the ones. I didn't come here for them. Don't you have another one somewhere? Oh, yeah, that little runt there. He's out there, you know, he's smelling like sheep. You know, he's been out there taking care of the sheep. You want him? Yeah, that's the one. Go get him. So they brought David in. And the oil in Samuel's hand, in the vial, there's oil in the container that Samuel was holding, the oil in the bottle. Yeah. Found itself being poured on David's head. And when the oil flowed, the anointing came upon David to be the king of Israel. However, in that moment, he didn't go off and say, okay, I got the oil now and I'm ready to go take the throne. That's not how that worked. He received the anointing and he went back to take care of his father's sheep. You may think that God should be placing you someplace that else right now. You may feel that you've got the power, the anointing, and you ought to be over here or over there or doing this or doing that. Or maybe your business should be bigger by now. Or maybe your company should be going in this direction or that direction. Or why haven't you done more with your life by now? Why haven't you built that home? Or why haven't you built that corporation? Why haven't you? Why haven't you? Why haven't you? And you're thinking that it should be someplace where it is not. And you're in a position where the oil is on you. The anointing has come upon you. But the time hasn't come upon you. How to stand when everything else is falling? You have to know the timing of the Lord. And the timing of the Lord will find you paying attention to him, not attention to the world around you so much. Getting your eyes on things that don't matter in the grand scheme of things. You'll find yourself focusing on what Jesus talked about in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will fall in place. You will become a magnet to attract all the other things. It's simple, people. We've made it difficult because we've gone outside of God looking for answers. The simplicity of Christ is just to seek him, just to love him. And when we pour our affections into him, he pours everything else into us. Oh, we all mess up, make mistakes, but we don't give up, cave in, and quit. We repent, we get up, we move forward. How do we stand when everything else is falling? Understanding that our timing is not his timing, and that we have to stay faithful where we are and be mobilized when he calls us to the next level. You think about Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. Can you imagine how she felt and the criticism that arose around her, even so much that Joseph thought to put her away privately? And I always say, you know, the custom of that day was that she should be stoned. So he thought to stone her privately, keep her away from the public so that she wouldn't be out there like that. But because he cared for her. But God said, no, you don't do that. Because she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So people knew she was pregnant. Something, you know, the news got out. So she gave birth to the Son, the Savior. How did she stand when everything else was falling around her, when they took him to be crucified? That was a real mother's son. Yes, he belonged to God, but there was a real mother's heart in there. How did she stand, to see her son crucified on that cross? There had to be a memory of when Gabriel spoke to her and that said that she would bring forth the first begotten of the Father, that she would bring forth Emmanuel. There had to be memory of when he was 12 years old and they were looking for him and he said, "Did you not know I would be about my Father's business?" Memory clicked in. There had to be memory of the times he went about healing everybody, casting out devils, raising the dead. And she sat there and stood there and thought, why did we come to this place? How did we get here from there? But she knew that he came to give his life as a ransom for your sins. Yes, for you and you, and for me. She knew that he came to die for the sin of the whole world. But that didn't minimize her pain. But she stood there at that cross watching her son die, her firstborn, and he was God's firstborn. And she watched him die on that cross. How do you stand when everything else is falling? The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He knew that the cross was not the end. Whew. The cross was not the end. That the cross served as a conjunction, that there was more to the story, that something else was on the other side, that they were moving out of BC into AD, that the resurrection was coming. And he could stay on that cross. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. How do you stand? How did he stand to be taken from Gethsemane into Pilate's judgment hall? How did he stand to go through the 39 stripes upon his back, be beaten brutally to the point that he was not even recognized as a man anymore? Thank God for the movie, The Passion, but that was it. That was just on the edge. It did not take us to, it can't take us to that place because we can't even imagine. Isaiah said that it was so much that he was unrecognizable. How do you stand to go through that pain and the mother to look upon him? Because that was not the end of the story. Whatever it is that you're going through today, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the end of your story. There is more to you than what you're going through. There's more to you than what you're feeling right now. There's more to you than the way they've treated you. There's more to you. And there's more to this story. In a moment, I'll be back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Job had a terrible day. Things really got bad. And you've heard people say they're having a Job day. He was the object of Satan's satanic attention. It's as though the devil had cast a spell over his entire life, his livestock, his children, his home. His wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, foolish woman, you don't sound like my wife. In other words, what he's really saying to her, who's that speaking through you? Must be the devil. Must be the devil talking to you. You ever been going through something and then people call you, text you, or whatever, Skype you, whatever, and say something that is so devilish? And they think that it's okay to just say those things, and it's not okay to say those things because that's not God. And he said, who's that talking through you? Yeah. The story of Job talks to us about perseverance, talks to us about having hard times. Yeah, hard times. When you've lost everything, you even including your children. I said this in another teaching that I remember a young man in college in first year of college. And I remember him running for class president, and he got on the stage and he told the story of his life. And the story was that summer before that his entire family had been killed in an automobile accident. And it was a trip that he had decided he didn't want to go on. For some reason, he just didn't go. And he got the news that all of his siblings and his parents had perished. How do you stand when everything else is falling? But his story was that he knew God was still with him. When you learn how to persevere, when you learn how to stand, even when there's adversity, when people are saying mean things about you, and you know, it's like what the kids used to say, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yeah. How do you stand? You stand because that's not the end of the story. That God took Job's life, and the Bible says that the end was better than the beginning. That God blessed him more in the turnaround than he had before Satan came in and had the wheel of his life. Because God told Satan, he said, you cannot touch his life. So many sheroes and heroes throughout history that have taught us that you can stand when everything else is falling. Samson had to go through some dark times. His eyes were taken out and he became a slave for many years. And while he was a slave, that wasn't the end of the story. A man that had been stronger than any man that had ever lived had now become a slave because he was seduced by a woman. His hair began to grow out again because the strength was in his hair. Yeah, strength was in his hair. And as his hair began to grow out in slavery, so did his strength return. And when his strength returned, he asked God to let him die with the Philistines. When he sacrificed himself by taking down that temple that was opposed to God, that was a temple for idol worship and had horrible things going on in that temple. And Solomon said, when I take it down, let me die there too. Solomon got to assign his own death because he had learned that no matter what happens in your life, you obey God. And in his death, he took out more of the Philistines than he did in his life. And so he fulfilled the call of God upon his life. How do you stand? You stand like Ruth stood. When Naomi told her after her sons and her husband had passed away, and she told them, she said, told her daughter-in-laws, she said, go back. Because I can't give you another husband. I can't bear another child. So go back to your homeland. But Ruth stayed with her and she said, whether you go, I go. Your people will be my people. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your God will be my God. And so she held on to Naomi. And as the story would go, she began to take care of Ruth. Naomi, her mother-in-law. So Ruth went out into a field, and in those days, the handmaidens would go, and if the laborers were leaving some grain behind, they would gather the leftovers. Hey, this girl was standing when everything else was falling. Yes, she was. She went out and she gathered the leftovers out of the field. And as she gathered them, she began to put some more together, and she took it home to Naomi. And Naomi said, where did you glean today? And she said, in a rich man's field. I believe his name is Boaz. And Naomi said, oh, Boaz, he's kinfolk. He's a relative of ours. And this is what you do, Naomi being a wise woman. Woman, she said, this is what you do. She said, I want you to go and I want you to begin I want you to glean. But when she gleaned this time, Boaz had already had a conversation about her and had told the laborers to leave extra for her. When you see her coming, leave extra. Huh? Everything was falling and failing in her life. Her husband was dead. She was there now taking care of her mother-in-law. She didn't have any relatives in town. She just was taking care of her mother-in-law. But Boaz said, leave the girl some extra. How many of you can be left some extra today? You want God to do some extra. That's called favor. Mm-hmm. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that is at work within her. So one day she found herself in the threshing floor and she had covered herself at his feet. And he woke up to find her there and he said, what are you doing here? And she said, she revealed herself to him and said, I'm the kin. You're the next of kin. And he said, there's one other that's closer than I. So he gathered up some grain for her and rushed her out before daylight so nobody would think anything of her. He was protecting her reputation. And then as the story goes, Boaz ends up marrying Ruth. And they bore Obed, who bore Jesse, who bore David, out of whom was born Jesus. When everything looks like it's falling around you, God is setting you up for greatness. If you can stand during the hard times, if you can stand in the midst of adversity, you will find that there is a birthing of the promises of God taking place in your life. I could go on and on and on. And men like Joshua, who didn't think he was fit to lead the children of Israel. But God said, Joshua, Moses is dead. And I want you to take it up from here and take the people on in. Moses led them to the promise, and Moses led them through the wilderness, but Joshua led them to the promised land. He took them on in because Moses couldn't go in because he had struck the rock, disobeyed God. He had to stay where he was, but Joshua took the people on in. He took them to the next level. And he taught them how to fight back the things that were hindering them, to take over territories. And every territory, they had to go in prepared. They had to learn to repent before God. They had to learn to walk humbly before God and to walk in obedience to his word. Joshua didn't think he qualified, but yet he led the children of Israel to take the cities. His leadership is an example of strong leadership. Ooh, they took over. Not only did they take over Jericho, but they took over the city of Canaan and all of the surrounding areas. Look at Jonah. How do you stand when things are falling and you're in the belly of a great fish? Jonah turned and prayed. He got into intercession. He began to cry out to God. He began to pray. And when he prayed, the Lord heard his cry. And the fish had to spew him out, throw him up, regurgitate him. He had to spit him out on the shore because Jonah decided he was going to obey God. How do you stand? You stand in obedience. You stand like Esther stood when she went before the king, knowing that it could cost her life, but she went in anyway. And she said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king. She went to save the children of Israel. I won't go through the entire story. You can go and read the book of Esther. It's a short book. Go and read it, how this woman persevered. Woo! An orphan girl. No mother, no father, being raised by her uncle, who saw in her the ability to move past orphanage into a queen. Hey, isn't it wonderful to be surrounded by somebody or just, with one person that sees you for who you really are instead of your clothes that you have on, that are not judging you because you're not in somebody's name brand, that you're a brand without it. Hello, somebody, amen, church. That you don't need an initial on your purse. You just need the God who blesses the purse. How do you stand when everything else is falling? Esther went before the king and she saved the entire nation of Israel because she was bold enough to take that walk. You stand by walking. Keep moving. Stay mobilized. Don't give up, cave in, and quit because God has a plan for you. And you're not the least among us. He has anointed you and appointed you to do great things in the earth. And you are not going to be left out because it looks like you're having a bad day. We spoke of biblical people, and look at some of the people who are now today have doing great things in spite of their odds. Oprah Winfrey, raped, pregnant, lost a baby. Yes, at 14 years of age, went through some difficult times in her life with molestation and all of these things. But look at her today. That's somebody that you can Google. Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, couldn't make any money at first. He had a company and it failed. It failed miserably, the report said. But when they tried to sell the product, it wouldn't even work. But he didn't let it stop him. He and his partner did not let it stop them. They got back in the game. You have to feel driven by something in order to stand when things are failing and falling around you. Men like Albert Einstein, of course, you can Google him. You won't meet him today except through what you read about him. He didn't even speak, the report said, until he was 4 years old. So I imagine his family had given up on him ever talking. Many of his teachers labeled him as lazy and that he wouldn't make anything of himself. He always received good marks, but his head was like floating in the clouds. And so they labeled him, but he kept on thinking, and he eventually developed the theory of relativity, which many of us still can't wrap around our heads today, and we can't. Have you ever seen any of his equations? Did you know Tyler Perry used to be homeless? That he was working from his Volkswagen? Did you know that many of his plays failed? Did you know that Jim Carrey used to be homeless? Did you know that Bethany Hamilton had her arm bitten off by a shark? Yeah, at age 13. And then she went back on her surfboards and she won first place in the Explorer Women's Division of the NSSA, the National Championship Determination. She won. Benjamin Franklin dropped out of school at age 10. That doesn't mean you should drop out. But these are examples of people who knew how to stand. Richard Branson had dyslexia. Yeah. Thomas Edison was really exciting to me. He failed 1,000 times before creating the light bulb. Yeah. We talked about Oprah Winfrey. Her tragic past didn't stop her, and today she's worth billions, has an empire that spans all over the world, doing good for people. On and on and on they go. Vincent van Gogh only sold one painting in his lifetime. Yeah. Jay-Z couldn't get signed to any record label. Yeah. Chris Carr. She turned her cancer into a business of hope and healing. Look at what she's doing today. Franklin Roosevelt, partially paralyzed at 39, even though he couldn't walk, he went on to become president of this country. On and on. And there are people even on thebrinkofgreatness.com. I think I have that right, thebrinkofgreatness.com. Go read stories of people who overcame incredible odds to do what they're doing today. So don't you dare sit there and say, oh, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, if. You have an opportunity right now to get up from where you are and decide that you're going to stand regardless of what else is going on in your life, or who left you last night or today, or who's not supporting your ministry, or who's not supporting your efforts, or who's not in the race with you. You're going to make a decision. As long as you're there, God's with you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your people. We thank you for this audience and these people who are listening from all over the world. We thank you that this voice that you've given me will go out and transcend boundaries, that will go into geographical locations that have been untouched by these feet, that you would minister health and healing to them, and they will understand that it's okay to keep moving, that they can get up again, pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, and take the next step, make the next move, do what you've called them to do, and that there's greatness on the inside of each and every one of them and each and every one of us to do what you have designed. Teach us how to walk, how to talk. Give us an insatiable appetite for your book, your word. Let us remember to speak it boldly, to declare and decree what you have said to us and about us, and come into agreement with your word. And we will not give it up. We will not stop. And we are in it because you are in us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Thank you again for being with me today. It's always a pleasure being here, right here on this platform, bringing this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to inspire, motivate, and encourage your life. I look forward to hearing from you. You can email me at support@drfaye.com. Don't forget to share us across social media and be kind enough to go to iTunes, rate and review. Listen to us on iHeartRadio as well as americaoutloud.com/Dr. Faye at 7 a.m., 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. every Sunday. Support us when you see this face or hear this voice across social media. Know that we love you. We're praying for you. You can always, again, send us your prayer requests at support@drfaye.com. And know, too, that you can also give by checking it out on this show page at americaoutloud.com/Dr. Faye. Love you. Kisses and hugs. This is Dr. Faye, and you've been listening to another Intentional.